Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Fred Lowry, illuminating God's Word for today's world.
The choice, the Word of God, or the world. The choice, Christ, or culture for us.
We can choose Christ.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice. That's an imperative. That's what Steve was saying a moment ago. You learn to rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, various kinds of trials, testing, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Here's my statement from 1 Peter chapter 1. Most people see suffering, problems, difficulties as a mystery when God wants it to be a ministry. God allows things to come into our lives because He is doing something in us, with us, and through us for our good and for His glory. And so Peter is addressing this. He's talking to us about why God permits trials, difficulties, problems to come into our lives. And he spells it out for us. In verse 6, notice that little phrase, if need be. Trials come with a purpose. He's saying, if need be, God will allow these trials to come into your life. They have a purpose. They are there for a reason. God is chipping away. God is doing something in your life that He could not do any other way. So suffering, trials, adversity has a purpose to it. And then in verse 7 we learn it comes to all Christians. The trial of your faith is something that leaves nobody out. There are no exceptions. He uses several words. He uses heaviness in verse 6. He uses trial in verse 7. Heaviness, trial, and then also in verse 6, manifold temptations or many testings. So heaviness, testing, trial, these are common to all people. Christians are not immune from testing and from trials and from difficulties. Not any place in God's Word that teaches you, if you give your heart to Christ, zap, no more problems. Usually the opposite is true. Once you are serious about God, then problems will come into your life to test that seriousness and to grow you up to be like the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation or trial taken you but such as is common to man. So trials are things that come into everybody's life. There are no exceptions. You know, we look around and think everybody else has got it made. We're the only ones struggling. It's just not so. It's just that others aren't talking about it or that you don't know about it. But they're there. The struggles are there. The problems are there. And then another thing that Peter tells us is that suffering comes and goes. In verse 6, he says, for a season. Now, we ought to praise God for that because, you know, just when you get to the end of your rope, just when you think you can't make it any longer, all of a sudden you see the light of the darkness and the burden lifts and you can breathe easily again. You say, thank God, by His grace we made it. And there is a let up. And then later on they come back for another season. And then there is a let up. And then they come back for another season because none of us could stand just the sustained pressure. So it comes and it goes. I know some of you are thinking, well, it's just been coming into my life. Well, you think that, but God has given you some relief. You might not have recognized it, but it was there. And he says, I won't put more on you than you can bear. Now, either he's a liar or that's true. Now, I struggle just like you do. You know that. And many times I've told God, God, you say that you won't put more on me than I can bear. But I think that I'm not going to make it through this one. I'm going under. And evidently, you've just gotten busy. You don't realize what's happening to me because I'm going under. In fact, if you don't do something by noon, it's all over. But you see, that's just my foolish talk. Because God knows what's going on. He knows where my limits are. He knows. There are many, many times I said, Lord, I won't be pastor of First Baptist Bossier but another week at the most. I mean, if this is a better week, I may make it to the end of the week. I was eating at a deal with Chief Gruber. We compare war stories. And he says, I won't make it. He said, I will not make it. But he's still there. You see, we don't know where our limits are. And when we say we cannot do it, God says, that's all right, I can. Just trust me. He wants to hear us say we can't, but he can. And he says, I will not put more on you than you can bear. And he knows whereof he speaks. So it comes and goes. And then in verse 6, it also tells us it comes with great diversity, manifold testing. Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time convincing you that troubles come with great diversity. I mean, they come from varied. He will tell us in another passage in 1 Peter, they are variegated, they're many-colored, multicolored, they are diverse. They come in all different sizes and shapes and forms, and they come from places you would not expect and from people that you would not expect. People can hurt you so deeply. And so they're always coming from various sources. They never come from just one source. I mean, if a mother-in-law was our only source of problem, we might make it. But they come from every direction. Not just, where's my wife? There you are. My mother-in-law is doing super. I mean, we've had... two or three years she's been straight. 2 or 3 years. She's on a roll. It was rocky for a long time. But I contributed to that. I mean, I said a lot of things I should not have said many years ago. You know, I took the direct approach and I said, you know, you can land your broom on my patio anytime you want to come. And I paid for a lot of that. But we got problems from all sources, not just one source at all. They come from various sources, manifold temptations. So they come with a purpose. They come to all Christians with heaviness, testing, and trial. They come and go for a season. They come with great diversity. Now, he gives us two reasons, two clear reasons for our trials. One is a present reason. It proves our faith. An army that's never in battle cannot prove that it's really an army. A ship that stays in dry dock cannot prove its ability to be seaworthy. A football team that never plays a game cannot convince you that it can produce as a football team. So testing proves that we are the real thing, that we're genuine. Who are we trying to prove it to? God? No, he knows. You don't ever prove anything to God. He already knows. We're proving it to ourselves and to others. To ourselves because when we make it through the testing, it gives us confidence. It teaches us to rely on God. And you see, It proves our faith to others, because when others see us come through difficulty and we come through it like a Christian, it gives credibility to our testimony. Nothing gives credibility to your testimony like how you act in the hard times. You see, the world watches you. And when you act strong and Christ-like and loving in the tough times and the hard times, that's when your testimony takes on real credibility. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember the three Hebrew children? Not a whole lot of people paid attention when they were put into the furnace. But now when they came out of the furnace, everybody wanted to talk to them. Because they had gone through the fire and they had come out, the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. You see, sometimes we come through the fire, but we smell a little smoky. Amen. I mean, we don't come out without, we act up in the middle of all that trouble. Smell like smoke. They came out of it and didn't even smell like smoke. And so everybody wanted to talk to them because their testimony had credibility. You think they'd had trouble getting the sun out of the crowd? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? At least not for one night in a row. Because their testimony had credibility. So it proves our faith. It also purifies our faith. He uses the word gold, more precious than gold. That gold is purified to get rid of those impurities so that it's the pure gold. A jeweler gets it so hot until he can see his reflection. And then he knows the impurities are gone. God works and takes us through the fire until he can see his reflection in us. So it purifies our faith. It also powers our faith. There's nothing like trouble to teach you and me to depend upon God. Our biggest problem is we want to depend upon ourselves. But God is constantly trying to teach you and me to depend upon him, upon his power, upon his strength, to confess that we're weak, but he's strong. And when we are the weakest, he is the strongest. And so it powers our faith. So those are present reasons for our trials. And then he gives a future reason. He tells us that trials get us ready for heaven. He says, though they be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He is conforming us to his image. He is getting us ready for glory. And then he says trials may result in the personal commendation of the Lord Jesus himself. When he returns at his appearing, what could our reward be? It tells us praise, glory, and honor in verse 7. Praise, glory, and honor. Now listen to me. No matter what you go through in this life, how deep and dark the valley, how difficult the struggle, how deep the hurt, if one day you see the Lord smile and hear him say, "Well done," it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Just to hear him say, "Well done." The Bible says one day he can say that if we go through the fire and if we come out as pure gold. And then in verse 8, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Love, believe, rejoice. Three great words. Knowing Christ, when you get a glimpse of the cross and realize how much he loves you, you want to give your heart and life to him and love him. And believe that he loved you and that he died for you. And you accept that by faith. And once you do that, then God begins to fill your inner being with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you love Jesus and allow him to control your life, there is an inner joy regardless of circumstances. And I know that to be true, and yet sometimes it still shocks me and amazes me. I'm with people when the bottom falls out. And sometimes I think I'm the one that's the basket case. I'm struggling just to talk, and I'm tears are in my eyes, and I'm just having all kind of difficulty. And here's this person for whom the bottom has fallen out, and they're standing there like a rock. You know why? Because they're the ones with the problem, and they're the ones with the grace, trouble grace. They're the ones with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can't describe it. You can't explain it. You cannot explain when someone who's lost everything says, there's still a peace in my heart because God has not forsaken me. Even though I cannot see God at work, I know He is there. That inner joy that's unspeakable, indescribable, full of glory. You know what I'm talking about. You may not be able to explain it, but you know that when you've walked through the valley, God has been with you. J.B. Phillips translates this passage with great clarity. Let me read it to you. At present, you are temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials and temptations. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. And gold, as you know, even though it is ultimately perishable, must be purified by fire. This proving of your faith is planned to bring you praise and honor and glory in the day when Christ reveals Himself. Let's pray.
We hope you were blessed by our program today. If you would like a copy of today's program, go to www.fredlowry.com, where you can find this program and other Christian resources by Dr. Fred Lowry.